is called Everlasting Life. Everlasting Life. Open your Bibles up to John chapter 3, and we'll get moving on this. I will pretty much get it introduced today. But I think a lot of misunderstanding about everlasting life, and right next to that, you could call it eternal life, because they are the same words actually used in the scriptures. We're going to find in John chapter 3 the same word is used, and one place it's translated eternal, and another place it's translated everlasting. Verse 36, it's translated as everlasting, John 3 verse 36, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. Verse 15 says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's the very same Greek word used there in the Gospel of John in verse 15 for eternal and verse 36 for everlasting. So, but I chose, which, you know, I mean, like I say, you could call this the sermon that Pastor Dan did on Sunday, the 13th of February, you know, if that's what you want to title it what you like, but the actual title is Of the Sermon, Eternally with the Lord. John chapter 3, let's look there at verse number 1. Most of you have read this many times, and you know what these verses are saying and what they speak to, but I pray that you'll have some revelation knowledge today that'll just enhance what you already know. Verse number 1 says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Now, I can identify with Nicodemus, can you? The first time I ever heard a guy talking about being born again, I was thinking, how could I go back into my mother's womb? I had the very same thought, and I had never read this. He hadn't read that to me, but he talked about being born again, and that was the first thing. It was like, well, how? And I remember the day that it clicked, and I finally realized what was being said. Now, this phrase, born again, is something that Jesus did not make that up. Actually, in Judaism, remember, Jesus was a Jew. He was not a Christian. He was a Jew, okay? Can y'all agree Jesus was a Jew? Okay, they were first called Christians at Antioch, those that followed Christ. Now, I am a Christian. You are a Christian. We have Christ living and dwelling in our hearts. Amen. But Jesus was a Jew, and he did everything after the pattern of the Jewish ways. Throughout the Old Testament, you'll find it. And the things that he did are outlined in the Old, and of course in some other rabbinic materials, like the Talmud, like the Mishnah, and the oral law of the Pharisees. And this phrase, born again, is something that when a Jewish person would immerse themselves into the mikvah or mikvaot, which is the baptismal area, had to have 120 firkins in it or something. I forget what the exact number was, but that may not be right. But it had to have certain amount of water in it, and the water had to be moving through this area that they would immerse themselves into. It's called the mikvah. Well, when a person would immerse themselves in water, when they came up, it was said like they were born anew as a child. Okay? So that phrase, born again, was taken from some Mishnaic material. And, the Jews would have known when he said a man must be born again. That's why in baptism, when a person goes under the water and comes up, it's like they're made new, okay? Born again. Don't confuse what I'm telling you. Being baptized in water does not save you as a person today. Can I hear an amen? Water baptism is only for Christians. For somebody to think that if they just get into the water and dip in the water, they're saved. is very, very, very wrong. Water does not save you. What was shed, we just talked about it, that provided salvation for you? The blood. The water is a type. Now, Jesus makes reference to water in these verses of Scripture coming up here. He just said, verily I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, a person cannot see nor enter into the kingdom of God unless, because he mentions that in verse 5, unless they are born again. Now, if somebody doesn't know what being born again is all about, there are people that make jokes about it, you know. I feel like I'm born again. And I'm like, you know what? When folks joke about things like that, and these, some of these comedians out there that want to be so funny and mock the church, I'll tell you, we are a very large group of nice people. Okay? And we're not going to go and grab our swords and come after you. Come after people that mock the church. The church is mocked daily. It's mocked on national TV, and nobody does anything about it. I had mentioned how this Dr. Fauci used Jesus Christ as an expletive on a hot mic. Any of y'all hear about that? And there are so many Christians that think, Dr. Fauci is so great. Dr. Fauci needs to be born again, guys. Amen. When you can utter the name of Jesus Christ in a frustrated, expletive fashion, and not one organization stands up and says, well, I want an apology. What if he had said something about the Muslim people? Or, God forbid, about the gays. Yeah. If he had used an expletive that describes a homosexual person. What a blankety blank. Don't you suppose there would have been some uproar? Yes, but instead the church goes, oh, he used the name of my Savior like a four-letter cuss word. Oh, no big deal. He probably didn't mean it. If a person doesn't know what it means to be born again, and they act and behave like that, and there are a lot of Christians thinking that this guy knows what he's talking about, I've got news for you. That guy does not know what he's talking about. And I say that as a matter of public record. It's all a game, brothers and sisters. It's all a game. Is that sickness real? Sure it is. But manipulation is very real too. Okay, there's my political thing for the day. Listen, listen to me. The church has just been too namby-pammy. You know what I mean by that, namby-pammy? What's namby-pammy mean? You know, it's like Casper Milktoast, you know? Casper Milktoast was a cartoon character, kind of an effeminate little guy, weakling. Back in the, 30s, 40s, whenever that was. My mom and dad told me about it. But the church has been this like, we're just nice people. So we'll be your doormat. Well, I'm not going to be somebody's doormat. Jesus, when he walked into the temple and they were doing ungodly things in the temple, exchanging money and cheating people, overcharging them for sacrificial animals, it ticked him off. Christians were going, you shouldn't be doing that. And Jesus goes in and starts flipping tables. And he braided a whip. Sure he did. Well, are you advocating violence? I'm advocating standing up for what is yours. Come on, y'all there?
Amen.
Appreciate that. But this phrase, born again, has taken a lot of heat. A lot of people make fun of it. Well, I'll tell you, if you're not born again, you're going to hell.
Amen.
Okay? I mean, we just cut through the whole thing. If you're not born again, haven't accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you're on your way. It's not going to be nice. And, there, you know, sometimes out there, the people say, well, this guy died, and yeah, he was this false religion over here. He didn't do any of that church, so he was not born again, but he went to a happy place. It's not a happy place. Do you hear me? Not everybody in the world is going to heaven when they die. I know that that is not a nice thought, but that's why our duty in this earth to show the love of Jesus. You say, well, showing the love of Jesus, was Jesus showing the love of Jesus when he flipped tables? You better believe he was. He was God in the flesh. He was love and is love personified. That was love. Hey, listen, have you ever had to discipline your child? I got discipline. Why do you suppose you have those two orbs on the back of you? That was for spanking. Orbs. Spanking. You know, the old children are like canoes. They're better when paddled from the rear. Amen. The pow, pow, pow. So here Jesus is talking about a spiritual realm, okay? And so he's speaking this to Nicodemus. Nicodemus has the question, can a person enter into their mother's womb and be born a second time? Jesus said in verse 5, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, that's water baptism, Pastor Dan. No, it's being born into this earth through the water of the womb. And that's how you make legal entry into the earth. Okay, that's why Jesus was born of a woman, all right? It had to happen that way, but then in order for you to be born again, it has to be a spiritual rebirth. You can't go back into your mother's womb a second time. So now he's addressing the spiritual side of the whole thing. And this material realm that we see is not all that exists. Y'all realize that? You know, you are a spirit, you have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and you live in this body, and there's coming a day when the body will die. If Jesus tarries and doesn't come back for the church, every one of us will go the way of the grave. And your body, what happens is when your spirit is separated from your body, the body dies, because the spirit part of you is the life that's in you. You know, you can keep a heart pumping by attaching a machine to it and continuing to make it pump. But that does not mean that there's life in that person. A person can have the physical brain in their head, but it's not functioning. Their mind is not there, okay? So the brain isn't working, but they can't communicate with people, but we've heard of instances where people were healed of serious brain injuries and they could hear everything going on. They were thinking just fine, but that brain wasn't working. So now you find out that the brain and the mind actually are two different things. How does your mind work? Well, there are different, you know, synapses and all this stuff and how it fires and that and whatever. I don't understand it all. But I do know I can think. And I do know that the mind is not the physical brain. To renew your mind takes the Word of God being plugged into your life. I don't want to get ahead here either, because I want to talk to you about the age of accountability, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But let's look at a little bit more in this chapter here. Verily, verse 5, I say to thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So here he gives an example. The wind blows where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes or whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, this example is of wind that he gave is an example of something that you cannot see, yet it exists. Can you see the wind? Some of you answer, but no, you can't. What do you see? If I do that, now, you know, you can create your own wind, right? Now, careful. See that? What do you see? Do you see the wind? Or what do you see? You see the pages moving as a result of the wind hitting it. Now, somebody say, well, you can measure wind and all that. So it's measurable, so it's identifiable. Where's that wind coming from? When I took ground school, we had on the study of weather and weather patterns, because it's very important if you're going to fly a plane that you know how to read some of that stuff. And, of course, you have to have some understanding of it for when you're planning a trip. And with high and low pressure systems, the way wind, what makes the wind blow, when a high pressure system moves over into a low pressure system. Let me see, I wrote it all down so I could remember it. Gases move from high pressure areas to low pressure areas. The bigger difference between the pressures, the faster the air will move from the high to the low pressure area. Okay, they call it wind. But what causes all of that? Well, it's just, that's nature. Oh, you know, Mother Nature. No, I would submit to you that there's a spirit realm, that there is something much bigger than what we can see. All right? How is it that the earth is spinning and we're not all flying off it? How, you know, and some folks are really worried about this environment. And I think we ought to take care of things and don't trash up the earth. I agree. But to think that somehow or another this earth is just, we're ruining it somehow in its entirety. And so, you know, the ozone layer. And I get not using a lot of chemicals and stuff. Fine. But this earth has had a lot of bombs dropped on it. Some in areas over here, you'd think it would have tilted the world by now, if it's in that delicate a balance. How come some of those islands in the Pacific where there was so much battle going on in the world in World War II didn't just sink right into the ocean? You know, you think you're going to throw it all out of balance that easily? This earth is quite durable, thank you. God designed it where it would reproduce things after its own kind. That's part of the law of seed time and harvest. And this, that fire that happened yesterday, I told my neighbor, I said, hey, I remember a guy down the street, he will burn a certain area out, and within 2 weeks in the summertime, it's right back up again. It doesn't take long, does it? It'll regenerate. So it's kind of like folks are all concerned about things in the earth. I will say this, I think we need to be responsible, but at the same time, I'm not worried about the earth just imploding, okay? I'm not going to throw my trash out the window. I'm not going to do all that kind of thing. But I do know the Lord built this thing to last, and it's going to last until the day comes when it will be destroyed. But that God's the one who's going to take care of all that, not little puny man. Okay. Something that we cannot see keeps this earth spinning. Look at verse number 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto Jesus, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and yet ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, and even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now, Jesus is speaking to this religious leader among the rabbis, the Pharisees, this man named Nicodemus. Very famous conversation that was had, that was recorded, and we found out that from that we need to be born again of the Spirit. Wonderful, wonderful. And if you've received Jesus, you're born again, okay? And that happened in the spirit realm. It's not something that you worked your way into somehow becoming right with God. That's why the thinking that water baptism saves you is nothing more than works. Works don't save you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Amen. Not of works, lest that person should boast. Amen. So in this series, we're going to be talking about everlasting or eternal life. In verse 14, let's just finish through verse 16 here. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have, there it is again, everlasting life. Same word used again. This eternal life, this everlasting life, a lot of folks do not understand what life and death are really all about. And we'll go into that in just a moment here. But, everlasting life is really, it's the actual present possession of every believer. You have everlasting life in you. If you're born again, that has been applied to you. Everlasting or eternal life, or we could call it, the word life is Zoe. Y'all have heard that before. The Zoe life of God, or life as God has it. How many of y'all want the life of God in you? If you have the life of God in you, it'll run out any kind of sickness. Amen. Amen. If the life of God, the power of God, you could say, it's the anointing. The anointing is the Zoe, is the life of God. Those all tie together. It raised up Christ from the dead. If the life of God enters you, it raises us up from the dead. Spiritually speaking, and can also quicken your mortal body, physically speaking. The life of God is powerful. Amen. This eternal or everlasting life is that power that actually raised up Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. It is that power, that life, that transformed that dead spirit in you, took that heart of stone out and replaced it with a heart of flesh, according to Ezekiel's prophecy. So, I tell you, I have the life of God in me. Don't we sing a song like that, an old chorus? I have the life of God in me, right? Thank you, Lord. So everlasting life or eternal life is the actual present possession of every believer. It's not something that's going to happen one day. It's already happened in you. Eternal life is already present in you if you've received Jesus as your Lord. Now, many people have wrong ideas about life and death. I just said that to you. Life is not existence. And death is not the cessation or ceasing to exist. People think life is, well, I'm here, I'm live. You know, you can be living and yet dead. Amen. Scripture says that, does it not? How can that be that you're alive but you're dead? You're alive physically, but you're dead spiritually. And when a person is alive spiritually, they can die physically, but they're going to go on for eternity. Amen. That's the good news. When a person dies, they don't cease to exist. People are going to exist one place or the other. The question is, where are you going to exist for eternity? If you've received the life of God, you're going to exist in eternity with the Father in heaven. If you have not, then death is working in you. It's not cessation of life. Oh, here in this earth, yeah, your body dies, but you will live on forever one place or the other, heaven or in hell. That's a serious thought. If a person's not born again, they're going to live forever anyway. You don't just stop living. Your body may stop here in this earth, but the Bible is very plain about our lives being nothing more than a vapor, a mist, a moment in time. And on the timeline of eternity, your entire lifespan here in the earth is going to seem like nothing. But the decisions that you make in this life will affect your eternity. Life, again, is the Greek word Zoe. The life as God has it is the way it's defined. The life that God is, or the God kind of life. What did Jesus say in John 14, verse 6? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Okay? That's John 14, verse 6. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, the word of is called the word of life, not the word of existence. So life is not just existence. Some people think this is all we are and this is all it is. And when I die, they're really afraid of death, frankly, because when they die, it's over with. The lights are out, show's over. They're in for a rude awakening. Because when a person dies, there will be that transition from this realm, the physical realm, to the spiritual realm. And the Bible says it's going to happen for a believer in the twinkling of an eye. An atomic second, literally. You know, you get a little glimmer in your eye, you're going to be that quick in heaven. That's why your last breath here is your first breath there. That's why it's seamless. You won't even know it. Paul said he couldn't tell whether he was in the body or out of the body. He couldn't tell, guys. And think about that for a minute. Can you tell? Are you in your body right now? Who's in their body right now? Can you tell? Yeah, I got this little ache right here. Well, you're redeemed from that too. Amen. But the fact is, Paul said he couldn't tell. He went up to the third heaven and he couldn't really tell that he was out of his body, but yet he's seeing things that he couldn't describe. He knew something happened because they hit him in the head with rocks. They stoned him to death, left him for dead. He went up and had a visitation, and it didn't even seem like he was out of his body. I think that's pretty cool. Listen, one of the things that haunts people, literally haunts people, is the fear of death. Amen. Have you ever been tempted to fear death? Come on, everybody in here has. Everybody in here has.
Not me, I'm a Christian.
Well, I'm glad you're a Christian and all. But there has come a time when a person is a little bit, could be fearful about it, and the devil lies to him about it or about how you're going to die one day. Let's just settle that right now. You want to settle that?
Yes, sir.
Let's settle it. In the name of Jesus, and you get into agreement with this, and if Jesus tarries and we go the way of the grave, we'll not have sickness nor disease take us out. Not any kind of an accident or violent thing of any kind in Jesus' name. It'll be a very peaceful, peaceful, healthy, homegoing when that day arrives. In Jesus' name. Come on, can you agree? If you do, say amen.
Amen.
I don't know of anybody that wouldn't want to agree with that. No, I'd rather, be assassinated or something. Whoa. You crazy? We'll pray for you. Amen. So, this eternal life, it's wonderful. Eternal life is experiencing existence with God. Let me say it that way. This eternal life is experiencing existence with God. The way God has. The way God's power is in us ties us to him. And it will be that way for eternity. When you receive Jesus into your heart, what happened? You believed on him. You accepted him as your Lord. Life entered you. You passed from death to life. And the scripture says we know how we can identify that we have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. You remember that? Amen. This eternal life is not something that's out there in the future. It's in you right now. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. That eternal life caused you to be born again. That everlasting life entered you and man transformed you, and old things passed away, and behold, all things became new. You became a new man or a new woman in Christ with all of these covenant blessings at your fingertips, and the devil tries to convince you that the flesh is a better way to go. That's the battle of life. You'd rather do this than serve God. You'd rather do this than live for the Lord. I bet you that guy that was arrested over here this morning wishes he was living for the Lord now. Sad to say, we've seen it before where people get arrested and they don't repent. In fact, they become more obstinate. That's really sad. A young man that used to sit here in this church was arrested for murder. And what happened? I mean, he was part of this church for a number of years. Decided at one point, he told his family, told his parents, I'm not going to that church anymore. And they let him do what he wanted to do. He ended up getting into a situation, shot and killed somebody over a drug deal. And it's sad. I know that little boy was born again. I know he was born again. I cared about that kid. And then he grew into a young man, but he was so obstinate on the news when they had his picture on there and what he was doing and the way he was acting. It was like, man, that's a sad thing. But people always have regrets later on. If they had just stuck to what was right, things wouldn't have happened like they did over here this morning. Listen to me. Your life is a blessing going to happen somewhere. Stay hooked up with the Lord. Don't let the devil pull you into a fleshly walk. Do you hear me? We'll close up here. I just want to show you a couple things from the Word yet. And let's go over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. So we are going to live forever with the Lord. And praise God that we are. Amen. As I said to you, that people that have been tempted to be afraid of death, I think every one of us in here at one time or another, whether it was a few times or a lot of times, but I'm going to tell you today, once you get a hold of this and you realize some of these things, you're not going to fear death ever again. Verse 15 says, back up to 14, Hebrews 2, verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, became flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I'll tell you right now, I don't want to walk in bondage of being afraid to die one day. Do you hear me? I mean, I'm going to live forever with the Lord. I'm going to live forever with God. I refuse to be tormented here about death. This is a temporary thing right here in the respect of being here in this earth. But there's a forever to consider. And my forever is sealed. If you've received Jesus, your forever is sealed. What's the worst thing that could happen to you? Well, as if I died, you know. Really? Think about it for a minute. I would think as if you were relegated to have to hang around here a lot longer. You know, that's what could have happened to Adam and Eve, right? You know, the Lord said in Genesis 2, verse 17, I believe it was, that the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And they did. But they didn't die physically for hundreds and hundreds of years. When you think of spiritual death, you need to think the word separation. Because spiritual death is separation from God. Having eternal life is being made one in Christ. Do you hear me? I have that life on the inside of me. Now back up to verse number 8. It reads this way. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Sounds like a little bit of a tongue twister there. But the fact is that the Lord, and in 1 Corinthians 15, it's made reference to this in verse 25 through 27, that death is the last enemy that will be put underfoot. And you and I should not fear death, is all I'm trying to get across here. You and I should not fear death because we have an eternity waiting where we're going to live with the Lord forever and ever. Yeah, but Pastor, is my wife going to be running with somebody else up there?
Not really.
probably not. Or, you know, is my wife become free to date anybody in the universe? Come on, I've had these questions already asked to me. I've thought about it myself. Am I going to have to watch her going out for dinner with some other guy, you know? Stupid stuff. Really stupid stuff. I'll wait till I die, then I can go and be with that woman over there. No, you can't either. That's not the way it works, man. The Lord's got it all planned out. There's not going to be this lust and all this garbage and all this jealousy and all that. None of that's going to be there in heaven. Some of you are thinking, oh, I never thought of that. Let's touch on this right quick, this age of accountability thing. What is the age of accountability? You say, well, that's not in the scriptures, is it? Yeah, there's a time when a person begins to recognize the difference between right and wrong, okay? And the reason I'm going to bring this up, because in our lives as walking before the Lord, there are some folks further along in their walk with Jesus and others that are kind of lagging behind. And, you know, we're not to judge each other over all of that. But the fact is, man was not supposed to live here in this state. I mean, after the fall of Adam and Eve, when they sinned, had they eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good, once they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if they had gone in and eaten of the tree of life, they would have lived forever in a fallen state. That's why the Lord had to set the angels, drive them out of the garden and set the angels, right, with flaming swords to keep them out of there. You and I receive Jesus and we receive eternal life. But we will live forever with him. And there's the choice that has to be made. There are people out there on the internet, you've been playing around with maybe going to church, maybe not going to church, thinking, I don't know if I believe all that stuff. And there's coming a day that, you know, you're going to stand before the Lord. And you're going to answer for whether you've received the life that was made available to you or not. And the only way that you can be saved is receiving the life that God gave. God gave his life. He gave his son, who gave his blood, which is equivalent to life. And when you receive the blood, you receive the life. I believed on Jesus. I believe his blood was shed for me. I believe that he rose up from the dead and he's alive forevermore. I accept him in my heart. That's how you were saved. And at that moment, eternal life entered you and recreated you. And now you're a new man or a new woman in Christ. But what about the people that, you know, they reach this age of accountability? All of us, it's probably age 7 is, general time, where maybe a little earlier depending on the child, maybe a little later, I don't know. But when a person knows to do right and does wrong on purpose, they've reached that age of accountability. Now, the reason I bring that up, in Romans chapter 4, just go there right quick, we're going to close. Romans chapter 4, this is a question that some of you have had, and I want to address it here in the sermon. Romans chapter 4, what about a person who's never heard the Bible preached before? And they're out here and they lived in a out in the bush somewhere or whatever, and they never heard the gospel. They never were given an opportunity and they died. Do they go to hell for eternity? Look at verse 15. Verse 15, Romans 4, verse 15. Because the law works wrath for where, and we're just jumping in, for where no law is, there is no transgression. In other words, if you don't know the difference between right and wrong, or the necessity in this case of receiving Jesus as your Lord, and you perish, does God hold that person accountable? Where there's no knowledge of the law, where no law is, there is no transgression. Let me show you Romans chapter 7. Go over there, just go to the right. In other words, if a person doesn't know right from wrong, or the need to know Jesus and accept Jesus and dies, some will say, well, they're just going to hell. There's just no two ways about it. If they genuinely never had the gospel presented to them and had an opportunity to say yes or no, they will not go to hell. There's no transgression levied against them. Now, look at verse 9 of chapter 7. For I was alive without the law once. You see that? But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. He was alive without the law. For where there's no law, there's no transgression. In other words, if you don't know what the law says, you can't be held accountable for what the law says. If you didn't know that you needed to accept Jesus, nobody ever preached the word to you. You're in that place where I was alive without the law once. But then once they heard and they made the decision to say, forget it, I'm not doing it, now you're in trouble. Do you hear me? So the people that genuinely never have heard the gospel, if they never heard, never had an opportunity, never, underline it, never had an opportunity. Nobody in the United States has that excuse. There are opportunities on every corner. You can go anywhere and hear the word of God. What if somebody's out of their mind and they were born that way out of their mind? Are they doomed to hell for eternity? No. Where there's no law, there's no transgression. It's not laid to their account. They don't know the difference. But once they do and reject, now it's a whole nother story. Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to leave it there today. Why don't we stand to our feet? So we're going to be talking about eternal life, and we're going to be talking about how this eternal life will affect our physical bodies. There's just a lot to it. I don't know how long the series will go, but it'll get more interesting as we go. This was, just kind of laying a foundation. So let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you this day that eternal life has been imparted to us. And yes, we are separated unto you this day. And thank you, Lord, that we will live forever with you as born-again believers, forgiven of sin. Made new. Old things have passed away. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for everybody in here being willing to share that message with others who are not saved at this point. And Father, we just bless you and thank you and praise you that everlasting life abides in us. In Jesus' name. If y'all can agree, say amen.
Amen.
Hey, eternal life is wonderful. It's wonderful. And it is definitely that Zoe life of God, life the way God has it. Man, I want to be alive that way. Amen?
Amen?
I've never felt so alive. Well, why? Because your shirt smells like some nice Febreze or something? Who knows, No. The life of God creates that kind of, oh my goodness. Going to live forever with the Lord. Amen. Praise God.